You've been listening to Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Well, welcome back again. I'm Rainey Petrin, President of Manager Mentors, with my co-host David Carson. Dave?
Well, thank you very much, Rainey. And we're delighted to have as our guest again on the program, John Awasoga. John was one of the program managers with the City of London Police Diversity Mentoring Program. John is also Vice Chair of the Black Police Association in the City of London. And we only have John for the next segment of the program because he's busy. He's involved in a few meetings this afternoon. So welcome back, John. And one of the things I was interested in, John, was how much time do you think is involved in managing a program such as you had?
It is pretty labor-intensive because you've got a lot of administration to do. We have to arrange meetings with the mentors. We've got to sit down and go through and find out where they are. Are they sticking to their contracts that they put together? And then we've got to collate that information and prepare ourselves for the quarterly sessions that take place. And then just make sure that the actual progress of the mentoring program is as you'd expect it to be. So it does take up quite a bit of time, and also not forgetting to keep the line managers on side as well, make sure that they don't feel isolated in terms of what's going on, and on a not so much a day-to-day basis, but on a reasonably regular basis, that you need to sort of touch base with them on some occasions, especially when you've got some challenging issues there.
John, one question I have when you talk about the follow-up, and this is something that happens a lot, is how responsive were people to your following up with them? Like, I assume what you said, emails or phone calls? How did you do that, and how responsive were they?
For me, on this particular program, I had the advantage of having three of the mentors in the same building that I was in, so I could pop down to see them. With the rest of them, it was emails and phone calls, so you got hold of people any way you could. And getting hold of the mentors was never a problem. They were always eager and always keen to come and speak to me. Being that some of them were senior management, it was diarizing the time was difficult, and that extra burden on administration was an issue where you'd be phoning them up, or sometimes you'd have to get their secretaries and you say, can we arrange a meeting? So it took a bit of time to put that together. But there was never a reluctance to have the meeting. It was just difficult to get the time into the diary.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the most important things there, John, getting the time in the diary. And perhaps that reflects on the type of organization we're talking about here with a police force, where things can happen at the drop of a hat. I know that
Absolutely.
Happens several times.
Yeah, you're because you're always basically in emergency mode. I mean, you call the police only if you've got a problem, so and you've got to respond. The question in my mind is, that's a real challenge for payers to get together. I mean, would you, on a percentage basis, first of all, could you remind the audience how many payers you had, and then could you just tell us on a percentage basis, what's your guess about how successful they were in actually meeting? Was it, would you say, at 85% level, 60% level, and so forth, in light of the work they do?
Okay, we eventually ran with eight pairs.
Okay.
And I think in terms of, I mean, the percentage things, we could probably split it into two sections. One, in terms of percentages of them actually meeting, I think that happened right across the board. You say 100% of the pairs actually met. In terms of the regularity and saying, if you would say, well, you need to meet at least 8 or 10 times during the year, I think the success rate on that was probably more about 70%.
70? 70?
Yeah.
That's pretty good, actually, given I think the challenges that are unique to the police force. I think that's darn good.
And I think one of the reasons why that was the case is because when we did the training, and everybody who works within the police force will work in a specific shift pattern. So you'll have some people that will be working nights, while they're working nights, their mentor might be on days.
Yeah.
And so they made an effort to work around their shift pattern to actually make sure they met. And it was generally quite successful.
You know, I had that experience when I did a program in healthcare and I did it in the hospital, and they had the shift issue. And what they would do is they would person would come off the shift, let's say the night shift at 7 in the morning. The other person would come in at 7 in the morning before their shift, and they would meet and do all that kind of stuff. Is that the kind of stuff that happened here?
On occasion that did happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important point you make, John. The fact that we did think about this right up front when we designed the program.
Yeah.
And we talked about meeting, I think, was it in a five-week cycle rather than a monthly cycle?
And the reason why we said five-week cycle, because that's how the shift pattern operates.
Yes. And when we did the training and we talked about this, I really think that mentors and mentorees really appreciated the fact that we had taken that into consideration.
Mm.
And, you know, it wasn't an added burden that we did see this sort of window of opportunity, if you like. And I think they all went for it, really. And I think the 70% or thereabouts that you're talking about, John, is pretty good for the program, don't you think, Rennie?
Oh, I think it's terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's what you need to be successful. I mean, if you get it to 40% range or 50%, you know, then you've got the program's not really being effective. But 70%, and the reason why I mention that or emphasize this is because, you know, I go into companies that don't deal with these kinds of emergency situations, and, you know, they'll talk about, well, we're very busy, it's a challenge. And my response would be, well, it's a challenge for everybody, but if people who are in crisis situations can make it happen, certainly people who are not in crisis situations have less of a reason for not making it happen.
Absolutely.
You know, because, I mean, you've got these things you can't control. You've got to respond. That's it, you know. So, and you still manage to get a 70% rate. That, I think, is very phenomenal. And I think it's sort of, you know, a testament to the commitment of the mentors and mentees and also to your work and those of the other people who assisted you in managing this program.
Absolutely. Now, John, we only have you for another few more minutes here. So I was wondering if you could maybe give some information to our listeners regarding any recommendations you might make if someone was next week setting out to manage a mentoring program. What do you think would be the highlights to look out for?
You need to be committed to it. You cannot afford, as a program manager, to come in and be half-hearted on it. You need to be as committed as the mentors and the mentorees to it. And I think one of the good things that we did is that we did all the training. So, you know, we were putting our money where our mouth was there. We turned up for every training session. We were at the training for the mentorees. We were at the training for the mentors. And we were at the training for the managers as well.
Yes.
And I think you have to do that and you know, resource it as much as possible. We had the advantage that we had two program managers. And that was really good for us in that we had, you know, Katie looked after the mentorees and I looked after the mentors. And it worked well because you had that little bit of demarcation. Where, you know, the mentoree would go and speak to Katie about an issue and the mentor would come and speak to me, and it just helped to separate the confidences out a little bit. And it provided a more secure environment in terms of doing the work, which was appreciated by all parties.
Well, I know I certainly appreciated the support on the training. It was really good. Was there anything you would do differently, John, if you were managing the next program that's coming along?
I think if I did it again, what I would do, I would probably try and get some more admin support. So when I was trying to set up the meetings to speak to the mentors, I would have probably tried to get someone to help me arrange the dates and the timetable a little bit better for me, because I was doing all of that myself and it was quite time consuming.
Mm. I think that's one of the things we realized about this program, like the evaluation sort of wash-up session, that perhaps we needed to put dates and diaries earlier than we did so that people could look ahead and say, okay, that's in the diary, it's got to stay there unless there were emergencies. I think that was one of the things we figured out, John. Am I right in recalling that?
Yes, we did. I mean, I'm assuming it's the same in most industry, but definitely in the police industry, there's a diaries get booked up very, very far in advance, especially the more senior you are as a manager. you've got to get the dates in as early as possible. And once you don't get your optimum date, you then start scrambling around for alternative dates, and that just generates more work in terms of, well, if we can't do this date, let's try another date.
Yeah, that's what I found also in here is no matter which industry, it seems that people can sort of plan for weeks or months in advance and put them in their schedule or their diaries are more likely to meet regularly than people who kind of do it each time they meet. Because, you know, because we let people choose which method they want to use when they're together. And that seems to be a better approach, is to plan in advance. Even if you have to reschedule, but at least you've had it in there and you're less likely to cancel if it's been there for a while. You can work around it.
Absolutely.
John, one of the other things that I wanted you to talk about was as a go-between, if you like, between the mentoring program and upper management, how did that work in the force?
What we did with that, we did some formal reports to senior management, and also had the opportunity to do some one-to-ones where we'd go and informally speak to senior management about what was going on. The informal stuff was probably the most useful, I think, because for us, doing this for the first time, sitting down informally with senior management and talking to them about what was going on and what was happening, it was received much more openly than putting a formal report together.
Mm. And I think that reflects the nature of the management of the programs in general, Rennie. We like to make sure there's a structure, that it's well managed, but we don't want it to suffocate what's actually happening with the mentoring relationships. And that includes the relationships between program manager, upper management, line management. You think,
yeah,
Rennie?
Yeah, I think I always like to use the example of if we build a frame to the house, and the people populate the house whatever way they want. So they could, you know, do one room a certain way and do whatever. So their relationship can end up being whatever it needs to be, so the natural disappears. But that the idea is we built enough structure there so that they can hang this house, so they can hang this relationship on. And that's really what we try to do. And I think that's what worked, because it has enough stability with enough flexibility to be able to have a natural relationship occur, even though they were matched artificially, if you will. And we need to end at this point for our next break. And Dave, I think you want to...
Well, I'd just like to wrap up here and just say to John, thank you very much, John, for being a guest again. We really appreciate your input. Some good stuff there.
Thank you
very
John.
Much.
Thank you for having me on the show again.